we're having our class on dating. You've finally been set up with a girl. You look into her, you find out. You make the first phone call. We said you don't make the phone call with other people present. Shouldn't talk about girls to other people. Till today, I have a friend who's a bachelor. And there's a girl who we all think is an excellent match for him. But he won't date her because his roommate dated her. And when his roommate dated her, his roommate came back and he said to him, you know, I'm dating this girl. She's just not too bright, but she's nice. And then after two or three dates, he decided, I'm not continuing with her because he decided she wasn't too bright. And then he kicked himself that he said it to his roommate because for his roommate, she was perfect. And a lot of people tried setting up his roommate with that girl. Unfortunately, his roommate knew the name of the girl and knew that the guy who had gone out with her, who he held in very high regard, didn't think too highly of her. So he's never been willing to go out with that girl. In his mind, she's not too bright. Now, he's in his mid to late 30s, and he's still single. I'm not saying that's his wife. I don't know. But till today, I feel like his roommate did a very big disservice to the girl and to his roommate, to both. You know, we shouldn't talk to other people about the girl. When it's necessary, you have to take people's counsel, so you talk to the people whose counsel you need to take. But just because you're going out with a girl doesn't make it free rein on Lashon Hara to go and tell all the guys about the girl. No one's business. And if you're going to be developing a relationship, so if it's positive, it's something personal. It's no one's business. And if it's not so positive, it's still no one's business. You know, I told you last week about that doozy of a date. The girl who was very insulting throughout the date. Well, when I came back, this friend of mine who set us up asked me, how was the date? So now, what am I supposed to say? You know, so I just said, you know, I don't think we match. He tried to understand why. And sometimes it's important to tell a shadchan why, because that helps the shadchan figure out who to set you up with next. I can tell you that many of the people who I was zochet to set them up with their spouse, I didn't do it the first time. The first time I set them up, it was off. There was one girl, I told you guys the story about the girl who answered the phone with, no, it's you again? You know, that's how she answered the phone when I called. And I said, it doesn't have to be. I could hang up. And in that conversation, I set her up with her husband. But she answered the phone with the line, oh, no, it's you again? That's how she answered the phone. And I, till today, I feel like the guy married a girl with such bad midot. I couldn't decide whether to set her up with the guy or not. It had made sense until she said that line. I mean, the bottom line, he decided to marry her, you know, fine. But, you should be nice to the shadchan, and it does pay to call back and give information, but you shouldn't speak bad about someone else. Meaning, when this girl was so not nice, I didn't go back to the shadchan and tell him, you know, she could use some work on her midos and be a little nicer to people. I didn't say a word bad about the girl. He came back and asked me, is that for you? And I said, no, it's not exactly the girl I'm looking for. Happened to be that she was very lively and very talkative and very spunky. And I could tell him, you know, I think I'm looking for someone more gentle, more calm, more on the quiet side. And that's without saying, you know, she was insulting and not nice and she said bad things about every person we both knew. I didn't have to tell him all that. So I'm saying I don't think there'd be any heter to say all that. I shouldn't say any heter. In general, I don't think there's any reason to speak badly about people. Sorry, I forgot to put my... The question was asked, if no one tells her that she has bad midot, how will she learn? So I think we discussed last week that under no circumstances should you say something hurtful to a person you're breaking up with. And on the question of who's going to help her change her midot, that's not my problem. Am I the right person? Can I really help her get better? You think she wasn't nasty to a million other people before she met me? If this is her personality, it's the responsibility of her parents, her educators, her rabbanit. There are a million other people in her life who are in a better position than me. But when you break up with a girl, or when you're dating a girl, there is something very sensitive going on there. because you're actually questioning, is this going to be the most meaningful person in my life? And if on any level, even if the person thinks this isn't it, but the fact that you've exposed yourself to such a relationship by dating the person means to some degree you're vulnerable. I can't forget a girl I dated who actually was very, very smart and also very snobby. She made sure, like, we only dated once. She made sure on the date to tell me her father was a Harvard graduate and all kinds of wonderful things about how smart her family is and how smart she is. And I listened. It was actually a very interesting date because she was very smart. And at the end of the date, two interesting things happened. Number one, we were walking up from the hotels down here, actually, and the path diverged. And I didn't realize. I thought the way to go up the path was to go left. So I started walking left, and she continued straight. And before I could understand what went on, like, to me it was obvious. I was standing on the left. She was standing on the right. I went left because I thought that's where the path to leave the hotels was. If you guys ever go down to the hotels, I think you'll still see that path. And she continued straight, and I looked up at her, smiled, like, and I was ready to go back to her path, okay, you know. And she was sure I was going to leave her, like, right there, like, leave the date. So she became very nasty to me at that point. I don't remember what line she said, but something like, you're going to dump me now? I said, I thought this was the path up. If that's the way to go, I'll go that way. No problem. So I came back to her path, and then she said to me something to the effect of, am I interested in continuing? And I said to her, it was a very insightful date, and I definitely got a lot out of it. I think I would think it over, and I'll get back to her tomorrow if that's okay with her. And she right away understood that that was a no, which it was. But I didn't want to tell her on the spot. And so for the rest of the time we were together, from that point on the path till her bus came, she started giving me over the head in nice, subtle ways. And as we're walking, she says, there are some people who are man enough to tell you on the spot what they think. And some people aren't. You know, she said all these other wonderful lines, and I couldn't help but smile, you know. Okay, so she's saying I'm not man enough, and maybe I don't want to hurt her feelings. Maybe it's not nice on the spot. You know, maybe some girls do cry when you tell them, maybe even after one date. Maybe it's nicer, it's more respectful to a girl not to do it on the spot. Okay. Why am I saying this? Because the fact that she reacted that way after one date is not far-fetched. What happens is the fact that people are willing to go out on a date means they're exposing a certain part of themselves, a very sensitive part of themselves. And when you speak to someone you're dating, you have to be careful not to hurt them. That's more important than finding your wife. And when in doubt, out. Don't say it. And anything that can even be construed as negative, you have to stay away from. And again, people who have not been careful in this have on their plate, they're going to get the Shemayim, and they're going to discover that they scarred people for life. And before we talk about finding your wife, you have to be a mensch. You can't hurt other people. This is true for men, this is true for women. There are women who are so vicious when they break up. You know, I broke up with a girl once. We went out many times, and then I decided it wasn't it. And this girl put so many knives in my back. Like she, I don't know how other girls heard I had dated her, and they would check me out by her. And it's a little bit, no, what's shocking to me is that she basically told me when we broke up on that date that if I would have proposed on that date, she would have said yes. So I'm not such a bad guy if you were willing to marry me. So then how come she spent the next period, even after she was married, giving me a bad name? Why? What did I do so terrible? You know, so she was hurt. And I called my teachers before I dated her, and I said, how long am I supposed to, when I break up with a girl, how much time am I supposed to take to make her comfortable with it? And the teacher who I called said, as long as it takes, And I said, and if it takes 2 hours or 3 hours or 4 hours? And he said, as long as it takes. She has to walk away feeling comfortable that she can get married and she can walk on to the next guy. And if she hasn't come to terms with the fact that you're breaking up with her, say take another hour and you talk it over with her until she's comfortable with it. Okay. I was new to the game, and I did what I was told. So at about 10:30, I told her that I think that we're not a good match. And she kept asking questions. And she went on and on. And we were in a public place. And we were in a really public place. Ordinarily, you don't go on a date in a place which you can go on that late. But we were in an entrance to a public place, like a hotel room, like a hotel lobby, where there were a lot of people coming in and out. So she went on, and it went on to 1:30, and to 2:30, and to 3:30, and to 4:30, until 5:30. At 5 o'clock in the morning, she gave up. But she spent until 5 o'clock in the morning. At like 10:30, I tried breaking up with her, and she went on till 5 in the morning, not willing to break up. And I did everything I could to be gentle, not to hurt her feelings, you know. Didn't work. And you see, she was married already. She was married, and she still would say bad things about me. And I always wondered, I always wanted to give her a call. If you were willing to marry me on that date, so then how could you say I'm such a bad guy? Why were you willing to marry me on that date, right? What did I do so terrible?
Why would you bother someone after you're married?
That's another good question. I'm just saying, in hindsight, you know, as time passes, you realize people are exposing a vulnerable part of themselves when they're dating. And as careful as you'll be, you will ultimately look back and say, I should have been more careful. You know, every girl I broke up with, I would ask Michila from. Every girl I broke up with, I said to them, look, I did my best not to hurt your feelings. But in the event that I wasn't careful enough, I want to ask your forgiveness. I'm not going to call you Erev Yom Kippur, but I if I have a good shidduch for you, I'll call you. But I'm not going to call you again. Other than that, but maybe I wasn't careful enough, and so I asked every girl. I apologized to every girl, and even so, I'm saying, you know, one of the reasons we started the dating series was because we realized that even well-intentioned people can end up hurting other people. With the best intentions, like you just said. Who's going to tell her if I won't? Leave it to other people. The good intention doesn't make it moot out. And it's worse than that. Any comment that you make that's less than positive can really, really, really hurt a person. It's very different than a friend or someone else who made a comment. When a date makes a comment, it's taken on a different level. And I wish you that you don't have to experience it yourself. Unfortunately, there are girls who do this too. It's not only guys. Girls will also give a rating, you know. I gave you a few examples already. Okay, on the first date, we said you make up a place where you can find one another. I think that in most of my classes, I don't tell the guys to shut their cell phone on the date for the simple reason that if you don't have the brains to do it yourself, then I want her to see that. Let's be honest, I'm not going to teach you to be a mensch. If you don't realize that it's disrespectful and it's taking away from your value that you're giving the date by you leaving the cell phone on and answering it during the date, so let her see that that's your attitude to life. You know, I'm not going to tell you not to do that. I'm not going to tell her not to do that either. If that's the type of person you are, let her see that. But pay attention if she does it. A lot of what we're paying attention to on the date is the unspoken word. Now, some people come to a date with a checklist. They have a lot of questions. Usually those people don't figure it out. The way to date is to have meaningful conversation and let the conversation flow. So if you spend all your dates talking about daffodils, you won't know too much about her other than her opinion about daffodils, right? So you do have to talk about things of importance, and you have to talk about life, and you have to talk about life scenarios, and you have to talk about values. But you don't want it to be an interview. So what do you say? Is Torah more important or Midos more important? And what are the 5 traits you want to teach your children? And at the Shabbos table, no, you don't want it to be an interview, right? So it flows. So you talk. But in the conversation, you try to bring up stories that will help her understand your value system, help you understand her value system. So on a date, a girl once told me the following story. She said her friend was in the middle of davening Shmoneh Esrei, right? And there was a knock on the door. And she went and answered the door. And it was someone collecting charity. She gave him charity. And then she went and finished praying. And then her husband came over to her when she finished praying and said, how do you stop in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei and go and answer the door? And her friend was super insulted because why did he think she would go and answer the door in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei? She had just finished Shmoneh Esrei and answered the door, and then she went back to the other parts of prayer. But why did he think such a thing about her? That was the story she put on the table. Now, what she meant to say was, how do you view the balance between us both aspiring to a life of spirituality and yet having personal autonomy? Meaning, where's that balance point? So she could have just said, if I bench without kavana, do you plan on telling me no to you? You should have had kavana. She could have said it that way, right? She brought a story, and that story, she was waiting to hear my response. Sometimes, by talking about stories, you can understand very well where the person's value system is. You know, one guy might react, well, what's wrong with her? Why did she go and answer the middle of Shmoneh Esrei? Doesn't she know? Even a snake around your leg, you're not supposed to stop. It's a Mishnah in Brachos. Okay, so you got a picture of where that guy's holding, right? Then another guy might go, does he really care if she goes in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei? So you know where his values are. In stories, you could understand a lot. You talk about values in the abstract. Sometimes you have no clue. I know of people who dated, and the girl said to the guy, we're both. I believe that we should be middle of the road. So the guy goes, so do I. So she goes, oh boy, I'm so happy we see eye to eye. Boy, you have no idea what she calls middle of the road. You have no idea what he calls middle of the road. What's that? You know, so she's all excited. We see eye to eye, and she's lovesick already. What are you lovesick? You have no idea. Why don't you talk about what that means to be middle of the road? You know, middle of the road means me. Everyone will tell you that. Middle of the road is me, and those who are more left than me are liberals, and those who are more right than me are extremists, and middle of the road is me. That's everyone's formula for middle of the road. So, if you want to know where they are, talk examples. You talk to a girl, she'll tell you honesty is the most important thing. You can't build a relationship without honesty. Yeah, honesty is integral. Emes, it's a signature of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Emes, truth is what stands in the world, and without honesty, you never know if the person is who you think they are. Oh, she gives you all these speeches. Then you ask her, what happens when you show up late to work? So she says, oh, we have the system. We keep all our work cards together in a wallet, and whoever shows up first to work passes everyone's cards, and the rest of us sneak in through back door. Ah, okay, so now I got another picture about honesty, right? So the theory of honesty is one thing, and the dealing in life is quite another. That's why it's important to talk about concrete examples. It's important in the dating. I said, don't focus on an interview. Let the conversation flow. But through the conversation, you should reach an understanding of the values through stories. There was a girl who I was dating for quite a while, and I couldn't decide, and something told me this wasn't right. And then on one date, I told her the following story. It was late at night, and one of my siblings said to me, you know, I have to drive back to school because I have an important test tomorrow morning, but I'm so tired, I don't know how I'm going to stay up behind the wheel. But don't tell Mom and Dad. And I sat there, you know, I knew he'd be super upset at me, and I went and I told my parents. And boy, was he upset at me. But you know what? I couldn't have lived with myself if I wouldn't have done it. And she said to me, I would have never done that. And I said, what do you mean? She said, I wouldn't have gone and told the parents. I said, he's telling you that it's dangerous for him to be behind the wheel. She said, I know. What you did is right, and I wouldn't have done it. So I appreciated her honesty, and I broke up the next day. Now, I'm not saying that should be your values. You could say, I'm willing to live with that. That's fine. I knew that to me, that was a core value. To me, it was a core principle. That if you can't be someone's friend, even when you're going to bite the bullet for it, and it's going to be very uncomfortable doing what's right for that friend, then you can't be my best friend for life. That's not, to me, that was a core principle. You will decide over time, and with different girls, you'll see different points that come up. You can't, I'm not telling you you should adopt this as a core principle for you. What happens is, as you date, you start discovering what's critical to me. So sometimes you think things are critical for you, and then you discover that they're not so important to you. I remember I was set up with a girl that I was told was not very successful in school. And when I heard what a wonderful person she was, and that she had a great personality, and she was filled with Torah and Chesed, and had all the other wonderful qualities, I said, do I really care? I don't care. Fine. I agreed to go out with her, because to me, the grades are not what matters. What matters is what type of person it is. Other people will tell you, if she's not a straight-A student, that's not for me. I need brains. I had a guy who told me, I only date Ivy League. She doesn't go to Ivy League, only top universities. He said, otherwise it's a waste of my time. I know it's not going to work. Okay, I can't argue with him. Dating is not about a theory. Dating is about who you are. In theory, we could all say that there are certain things that should be important to us, but practically, what is important to you? You might not know yet. But as you date and as you meet different girls or as you think about it, you will realize that there are certain things that are important to you, and it's not about the theory. It's not like I could give a class here and tell you, guys, this is what should be important to you. This is how you find the right girl. No, we're all different, and different people have different things that are important to them. To one person, it's critical that his spouse has a sense of humor. I asked one person, I said, what's most important to you? And the person said, a sense of humor. And I said, what's most important to you? And they said, a sense of humor. I said, okay, fine, that's what's most important. What can I say? It's their prerogative. Yeah, you know, I asked another person, what's most important to you? And the girl said, he should make a lot of money. And I said, me dos? She said, yeah, it's interesting. He should make a lot of money. Okay, fine. I'm not sure that's a smart approach to life. But marriage is about mating two people based on who they are. It's not about a theory. Let me tell you how you should be. That's what we do the rest of the time at Machon Meir. We're working on who we should be. When we're going out to date, we're taking who we are. We're also taking what our dreams are, and we'll discuss that later. Meaning our dreams are a component of dating. But the first thing we have to know is, who am I? What's important to me? Now, there's something that all the guys, either they'll tell you, they might not be comfortable telling me, but all the guys on some level feel that looks is tremendously important. Now, Halacha says looks is important. It says don't marry a girl till you see her, because she might not find favor in your eyes. And the Torah says, "V'avtale re'acha kamocha." So you have to make sure that you feel comfortable with the person you're marrying, with their looks. But, and here's the big but, you don't know in advance, you don't know based on a picture, and you don't need a girl that all your friends think is good looking. You need a girl that you're comfortable with her looks. All too often people are looking for the girl that matches some sort of picture or some sort of advertisement. When the Halacha says you need someone who you're comfortable with her looks, it means you should be comfortable with her looks. And that might be a totally different criterion than the thought, will my parents think she's gorgeous? Will my siblings think she's gorgeous? Will my friends think she's gorgeous? That's not important. And that's not a reason to go out or not to go out with someone. That's completely not on the chart. When the Halacha says you have to find someone who you're comfortable with, you're comfortable with her looks. I remember I asked one of my rabbeim, and I said, what does that mean, comfortable with her looks? What's that mean? So he said a line to me which I didn't understand. He said, it shouldn't be that when you're walking with her in the street, you're uncomfortable with her looks to the point where you're not so comfortable being seen standing next to her. You're not. And I said to myself, I can't think of anyone I was ever with that I was uncomfortable being seen with. And then a few dates later, I met the person. I didn't think there existed such a thing. I didn't. Okay. Say that. Look, there's. You see, the halacha did say you should factor that. I didn't think such a thing existed. When my Rebbe told me that line, I was a little bit surprised. Like, I didn't know what he was talking about. Okay, so different people have different needs. You have to be comfortable with the looks of the person you're dating. You should not compliment her looks. That's not modest. I know in the more modern world, that's like an in thing to tell a girl she's good looking. That's not modest. You shouldn't talk about her looks or her dress. You want to compliment her, so compliment her personality. Tell her, you know, don't tell her you have a great smile. Tell her, you know, the date was very insightful and what you said gave me a lot of room for thought. And give compliments that are on a higher level, on a deeper level. Yes?
Well, this, what I'm about to say, is very, like, the telling of, I guess, how our society is superficial or not. I feel like for many, many girls, if they are, like, really deep, insightful, fantastic people, they'll be somewhat offended if you don't say anything positive about how they look. If it's their smile or what they're wearing or anything about them. I feel like if you don't say anything about their appearance in a positive manner, they will get somewhat insulted.
What would be if you'd say a line, "It's great to see you"? That's okay? So I've covered that, and I haven't addressed her you know, I visited my wife's grandfather when I was once going to visit my parents, so I took one of our children along. And on the way to visit my parents, I visited my wife's grandfather. And we spent the night by him. So the next morning, he said a line to me. He said, "You know, every morning until this morning, the sun rose over there. And this morning, as I was coming down from my room, I saw your son right here, and the sun rose over there." So there are lines which don't have to talk about the person's looks, and they still say a lot. You know, I think if you feel that you have to say something, so think of a way to say it that's not direct. You see, like I said, it's great to see you. Find another way to say it. I will tell you that in the Dati Lumi world, in the observant Dati Lumi world, it's not so accepted that a guy will talk to a girl about her looks. So that's why I don't want to deviate completely from your norm. And so I'm saying, why don't we find the meeting ground between what I'm saying and what you're saying? Say that. I'm saying this way, you won't feel uncomfortable because you won't feel like you haven't done your dues. And on the other end, in the event that she's one of those girls who feels it's inappropriate and immodest for you to be talking about her looks, then you won't have trespassed and... unwanted territory, right? So I'm saying you could cover both. Just be aware there are definitely girls who will feel like that's completely inappropriate. I'll tell you a line. A friend of my wife's once said to her, "The taxi drivers here in Israel are the crudest people I've ever seen." So my wife asked her, "What happens?" And she said, "Every time I get out of a taxi, the driver tells me you're gorgeous. They always comment something about my looks." So I automatically, when I heard the story, thought they don't mean to be rude. They're coming from a culture where that's considered a compliment. She thought, like, they're animals. What are they talking to me about something so personal? Who are they to talk to me about my looks? I'm just telling you a conversation. Just bear that in mind. I'm saying that there will be girls who will feel completely uncomfortable if you start talking to them about their looks. "You look better in yesterday's dress," etc.
Mm-hmm. You went in, the towels went out.
Okay. The dates generally should be somewhere minimum an hour and a half. Maximum, I don't know if it's going well, just don't go too late into the night. You know, if the conversation's flowing and you're both enjoying and it seems natural. So, like I said last time, a date shouldn't end too late. It's not nice to bring a girl home too late. Some girls want you to bring them home. Some girls want you to bring them to the bus stop. You have to be careful not to transgress yichud. So, if you're going by bus, okay, fine. So, you don't have a problem of yichud. If you're going by car, so then certain areas you're going to have an issue of yichud. Kochav Yaakov, for example, or Psagot. you have a long stretch of highway where there's no one around, and at certain hours of the night, there won't be anyone around. So you have to be careful when you're choosing the time, locale of the date, not to transgress Yehud. You have to be in a public place, in a place where people will be there. Let's skip forward. You're up to date 35, and you're about to get engaged. From the more you date, the more careful you have to be about Yehud, because the more your emotions are charging forward. So you have to be more careful. And after you got engaged, you have to be even more careful. And don't tell me, we were sitting in our parents' living room and it was 2 o'clock in the morning. I was there for Shabbos, but there wasn't Yichud. Everyone else was around the house. No, the sleeping people don't preclude Yichud. That's number one. And yeah, I know they could get up to go to the bathroom, but the halacha says that sleeping people do not preclude Yichud. And number two is, let's be real. A person has to be correct and not dumb. Don't go with the letter of the law. Here it happens to be with the letter of the law. You have an issue also. So lemaisa, you have to be careful with the laws of Yichud and try to have foresight and try to verify it. I told you guys, I was dating my wife and we went down Lifta, and every time I had been to Lifta, there were plenty of people there. And at one point during the date, I told my wife, you know, it's been 15, 20 minutes. I haven't seen a soul here. Hey, we have to leave here. I don't think it's right as far as Yichud. I didn't know I would marry her yet. This was like the third date or something. But I saw that people weren't coming, even though previously people had come every time I had been there. This time I saw no one was coming. Okay. By Lifta. So we went down beyond the mikveh over there. We continued down the path.
What is it?
Lifta, where we went with the trip with the Machon on Yom HaTzmaut. You have to pay attention and not enter such situations. It's not recommended to spend too much time talking about politics. It's not relevant to the house you're building. Do you really care if she votes this way and you vote that way? Big deal, you know. It shouldn't be a central point of conversation. What are you trying to understand? You're trying to understand the person you're with. The first thing you want to see is that there's chemistry. Sometimes a girl is very quiet. That's not a reason to break up. Give her a little bit of time to open up. You might want to turn to the shadchan. Could be after a few more dates. You'll see that she has a lively personality. If you're dating a girl that's been around the block, she's dated quite a few guys, so then the first date or two, you shouldn't give it too much weight, because she's been through this so many times that she has a hard time opening up and forming any real connection. So I had a rule when I was dating. If a girl was age 22 and up, which in the America's Arab circles meant that she'd been dating for a little bit, so then I never counted the first date. The first date was just so I could get to the second date. So the first date, I would, you know, have the regular conversation, and then at the end of the date, I tell her, I really enjoyed getting to know you, and I'll be very happy to meet you again. I'll call you tomorrow. You'll tell me if you're interested in continuing. And then she's walking on cloud number 9, because, the guy really likes me. He said yes on the date. She didn't have to give me a response. You know, I didn't ask her, what do you say, which is the nicer way of doing it. Let her think about it. And then the second date, we start already. Now we can really start to get to know one another. Don't gauge too much on the first phone conversation. Some girls have a raspy voice, some girls have a sweet voice. It doesn't matter. Once you get to know the person, you won't notice what type of voice she has, almost always. But very often people form all kinds of opinions based on the person's voice. Don't do that. You'll see the person, you'll see whether it matches or not, and you'll see that the voice makes very little difference once you get to know them. Don't go based on other people's recommendations. She's good looking, she's not good looking. I was once set up with a girl, and suddenly I'm in the library learning, and I get a tap on the shoulder. And an acquaintance of mine, we weren't even friends at that time. Today we're friends, but then we were acquaintances. He says to me, look, I heard you agreed to go out with so-and-so. So I was in shock, like, how did he know? What was his business? I still don't know how he knew. He said to me, well, I don't know if you agreed yet, but, you know, some girls are good-looking, some girls are okay-looking, some girls are not so good-looking, and some girls are less than that. And she's less than that. So I said, and why are you telling me this? He said to me, I feel like if you're a big tzaddik who doesn't care about looks altogether, so fine, go out with her. But if your range is the norm, I want to save her. You know, the girl shouldn't be hurt. You know, I shouldn't be dating her if they're for sure not going to marry her. Let's save her the pain. So I said, okay, thanks for the input. I didn't tell him that I was 5 minutes away from the date. Meaning in 5 minutes, I was looking up from the book to go to the date. So the next 5 minutes, I was asking myself, am I such a tzaddik? Do I care about her looks? And I'm bracing myself, right? I'm telling myself, it's not what matters in life. You'll gauge it realistically. You'll go on the date and you'll see what happens, right? And I was really upset at him because, like, he should have asked me first, you know, if I agreed to go out with her, why is he telling me this when I'm 5 minutes away from the date, right? And I didn't think it was a nice thing to do. Well, to make a long story short, I show up to the date, and of all the girls I dated, I would put her on the top list. You know, she was like, I was like shocked at how people can have, she was like one of the nicer looking girls I dated. So I was very surprised, like how I still today believe he in all sincerity meant what he said. And I walked to the date telling myself, okay, this is not what counts, go with an open mind. When I got to the date, I didn't know what he wanted from my life. I honestly had no clue what he wanted from my life. The flip side of it is that of all the girls I dated, there was one girl that every person who I called to check her out made a point of telling me how gorgeous she was. Every person. And I have to say that of all the girls I dated, she was like, not the nicest, to put it mildly. Whatever, I'm just saying, it showed me a lot. I spoke to quite a few shadchanim who told me that all the guys who say they need the best-looking girls end up with girls that they would for sure not call good-looking. That's an interesting one. I've seen the same thing too. Like I had guys who I tried setting up who would tell me, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, I need a 12. Okay? I've had guys tell me that. More than one. And, okay, so, you know, okay. I don't argue, like I said. Dating is about who you are. It's not about who you should be. So, lemaseh, I'm saying don't listen to what other people tell you about looks. It really doesn't matter. There are things that are objective. You know, a person's weight is objective. I think that after you meet a person and you get to know a person, you might find that the weight is not so important to you. You might find that there's so much more to the personality that that's not an issue that's worth mentioning. I really think that looks have to be put a little bit on the side burner, not to be forgotten. You'll get back to it. You'll see. Okay, so what we discussed today, the importance of giving real-life examples, the importance of talking about stories. We discussed the length of the date should be at least an hour and a half. Take a little bit of time to know the person. When you're going on the date, you should buy a drink. Non-alcoholic beverages, as we discussed last week. In the United States, it's accepted that you buy a meal. In many circles here in Israel, it's usually accepted that you buy a drink. Before you go out on the date, talk to the shadchan, because in certain circles, it's accepted that you do take out the girl for a meal. If you're going out to a meal, don't buy falafel, where it's going to slobber all over you, especially if you have a beard. Don't buy pasta. Don't buy foods that are going to be dirty. You could be dirty a different time. Find out from the shadchan what she's expecting. You know, I came from the United States, so I went out with a girl. I told you guys the story. I came with the norms of the United States, where you go out for a meal. So I took her out to a place which I thought was decent, and I ordered lunch. And her parents were American. She made Aliyah when she was And I ordered a salad or something, I don't remember. And she ordered a cup of tea. And I was like, aren't you going to get anything to eat? She was, no, I'm good with tea. I said, don't you want to eat anything? She said, no, I just ate lunch. And I'm coming from the American norms where you buy a meal. And she insisted she'll only have tea, and I already ordered a lunch. Boy, was that uncomfortable. Go eat when someone else is sipping their tea. You know, that wasn't fun. So you should talk to a shadchan in advance. You should know what the norms are, what she's expecting. Yes.
You finished?
Yes.
I have a question. So what if you date, either way, if it's a boy or if it's a girl, what if you date someone and they're chozrim b'tshuva, and they have problems with being shomer megiah. So how do you handle the situation? What do you do? What if it's like, if for her or for him it's very hard to not like touch or whatever? I don't know.
So I think this has to be discussed before you're set up. When I set people up, I ask them, are you Shomer Nagia? I think it's not right to set up someone who is with someone who isn't. And it doesn't matter which side of the coin. And I think that when a person has come to the date and they discover that they're not on the same plane, so then a person has to say, look, we're in different places. I respect and I value, and yet I don't see that we're compatible, and leave.
So you shouldn't try to continue?
No, I don't think a person should compromise, because Nagia is a big thing. It's, you know, when a person's holding that they're keeping Nagia, so then that's going to reflect in their observance of the laws of family purity. That's going to reflect in many things. And it's not only Nagia. If you touched on this, we'll already open it up. You show up to the first date and the girl says, look, I have a lot of respect for halacha, but Nagia is something that's not for me. So the question is, where are you holding? I feel that one of the main things you have to check out when you're dating, guys, listen closely, because guys mess up on this all the time. When a guy comes and tells me she's not keeping Nagia, I say Nagia is not the main question by me. My question is, what system does she use? Meaning today she says Nagia is not for me. What'll be if tomorrow she'll say, you know, eating chicken with cheese, that's rabbinic. I want a cheeseburger, but only chicken with cheese. I won't eat meat with cheese. Where do you draw the line? No, it sounds funny, but I'm very serious. Meaning, my question is, what system do you use? And as much as I say this, people don't get it, and I don't know why. People keep making this mistake. I see it catastrophically after the marriage. The issue is not a specific halacha. A specific halacha is an issue. But the major issue is, what's my system? You have a guy who says, look, I'm in the tshuva process, I'm not yet there, but I'm working to get there. So then we have to understand, where am I holding? One guy says, I'm keeping Shabbos, I'm keeping Kashrut, I'm not keeping Nagia. Okay, you have to understand, where is she holding? Do you guys match? Where are you both holding in the tshuva process? Where do you aspire to be? But you also have to understand the system. You have a guy who says to me, look, someone asked this question last week. I don't know how many of you were here. A person said, you know, what if I can't handle not eating meat and milk? What's the minimum I should do? So I said, you begin by not eating meat and milk together. Not at the same table, not at the same meal. He says, okay, that I can do. Can I wait only an hour? So I said, in the tshuva process, yes. When you'll evolve, so then you'll learn what your custom is, and whether you wait 3 hours or 6 hours or 1 hour, that's but step one, okay, so he's in the process. You in the tshuva process, a person can say, this is what I can do, this is what I'm working on, I'm not yet there. But there's a difference between saying that and saying, this isn't for me. When a person says, I'm not doing that, what he's saying is, there are certain halachot I'll keep, there are certain halachot I won't keep, in which case I say, make sure you're on the same page in your system. It's not only a question of what your observance level is, it's a question of what system, how do you decide what yes and what no? And it will have limitless ramifications. It will involve all your decisions. What schools you send your children to, where you live, what parnasa you have, what Shabbos you have, what shul you attend, what events you attend. Do you go out to the movies? Do you not have music during the 9 days? Are you careful about meat during the 9 days? Halacha is relevant 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So in the laws of family purity, how careful are you? So when a person says, I keep Torah and mitzvot, I'm a work in progress. I'm not yet holding it by everything I should be, but I'm working on it, and this is where I am. So that's one challenge, to figure out whether the two are compatible as far as where they're holding in their observance level. But at least their values are the same. Their system is the same. What I find catastrophic is that a guy comes to me and tells me that the girl isn't interested in Shomer Nagia. And I say, that's not the point. The point is, what system does she use? If she's telling you, or if he's telling you, if someone's saying, I choose which halachot I keep, so then I question, do you have the same system? How do you decide? And that's a key point in dating. What system do we use? One of the questions I think that should be discussed is which halachic opinion will we go with? Which rabbi will we ask? So one person will tell you, I go with Chacham Avadya. Fine. Another person says, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu. Fine. Another person says, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Chaye Adam. I have a rabbi in my yeshiva. I have a rabbi in my seminary. I can live with all that. But I want to hear the system. When a person says, I go to Rabbi Google, so that's a system. You have to know if that works for you, because Rabbi Google can come up with a lot of things. Someone sent me a shaila. A very interesting story last week. He sends a shaila and he says, my family and I wanted to do the following family project. Is it permissible? So I didn't want to answer him, because Rav Moshe Feinstein has a response which says it's not permissible. I wanted to think about it a little bit more. I want to make sure that it's really the same. In fact, it was. And then a half hour later, he sends me another email. He says, not to influence your decision at all, but I just want to tell you what Rabbi Google says. And he Googled the question, and he gives me a whole list of sources. This way, that way, the other way. Not to influence your decision, right? So why'd he send it? But there are people who, that's how they decide.
So why did he ask you if you wanted?
Right? Okay, so maybe he didn't want to ask Rabbi Google, but he felt that maybe it would help me decide. So, okay. Bottom line, coming back to our point, when we speak about halakha, when we speak about observance level, when we speak about how we run a home, so one of the main issues that have to be discussed in the course of dating, doesn't have to be the first date, but in the process of dating, we have to understand how we reach decisions. When do you ask a shayla? When don't you ask a shayla? How will you decide? On what things do you ask a shayla? Okay, these are things that have to be discussed, and you have to make sure you have the same system. We're not yet discussing, what we will discuss with Zachem in the future, is how you figure out what your value system is, your aspirations are. That's another area. Right now we're discussing, you brought up the question of halakha. And I just want to add a few more points in this. Asaf, is what you have to say pertinent to this, or it's another topic?
Maybe I ask him then maybe say.
Okay.
Is there a difference between if there's a difference between men who are chozrim b'tshuva or women who are chozrim b'tshuva in terms of how long it takes them to get really religious and get used to everything? Nobody.
I'm not smart enough to answer the question. I don't know.
But from experience,
I don't have experience with women. I don't teach women. I don't know. Rav Dinkevich might be able to give you a better answer. I don't know. People are sometimes tempted. They say, she says that for me she'll keep Shabbos. For me she'll keep Kashrut. I have a very hard time with that because what'll be when she's upset at you? What'll be when she's really upset at you? Then she'll say, you really got me ticked, so watch this and strike a match. I don't see that so well. You know, I think a person has to have their relationship with their Ribbono Shel Olam. And they have to develop their growth. Rav Kook has a beautiful Dvar Torah. Rav Kook says, if man and woman are supposed to be together, then why is man born separately and woman born separately? And only when they become 18, 19 do they meet and marry. Why weren't they born together in the same family? Let them grow together. And Rav Kook says that it's like a painting. When you draw the most beautiful painting, so you take the greatest and most vibrant colors. And then on the easel, on the... what's it called? The paper you write on? On the paper. Okay, nice. On the canvas, right? The colors come together and you put a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And because you work with vibrant colors, on the canvas you can make a beautiful painting. So too, Rav Kook says, each person has to develop their vibrant colors separately. If you would grow up with your wife right next to you, so you would affect your growth. You have to grow up to be you, and she has to grow up to be her. And when you're both filled with your vibrant colors, then you put them together to develop that beautiful painting, which is your married life. I want to speak about an exception or at least a modification of what we've been discussing until now. Until now we discussed that we have to work the same system. In the tshuva process, so there are things that are easier and there are things that are more difficult. Different people have different issues which are harder or easier to observe. So there's one area which I think we should just understand its weight by women. And this is the area of head covering. Meaning if a woman tells you she intends to be observant in every way, but she says, you know, I don't know yet how I'm going to handle the mitzvah of covering my hair. It's very hard, and I know I aspire to keep all the mitzvot, but this is something I've never done. I've been chozer b'tshuva for a year or two or three or four or five, and even though I do try to keep all the mitzvot, covering my hair is something which is going to be hard on me, and I'm not sure what I'm going to do with this. So I'm bringing it up because I've heard this many times. And after I heard it a few times, and I discussed it with my wife, so my wife gave the following allegory to tell the guys. So I'm going to quote what my wife said. She said, when I'd call my wife, when guys would come to me with this question, I'd ask her what she thinks. So she said the following allegory. Imagine if you were told that after you get married, even though none of your friends do, but you will have to start walking around with pink pants and purple polka dots. Okay? All your friends don't, but you will. So you would suddenly feel like, that's not exactly me. Right? And you could understand that you might not be so comfortable with it. So women get attached to their hair. And for a girl, very often her hair is a tremendous part of who she is. Us men, we don't get that attached to our hair, I think. Easier for me to say, right? But at any rate, when a woman has the mitzvah of covering her hair, the hardship that she has thinking about it very often is missed by a man. A man thinks, like, you have a mitzvah, why wouldn't you do it? Aren't you sincere about keeping mitzvahs? You should just appreciate that when a girl says it's a difficult mitzvah for women, so she's coming from a different place, which we don't appreciate as men. It's not the same as a woman saying, I don't see myself keeping negiah. As far as covering her hair, it's something to talk about, it's something to discuss, it's something to ask her to discuss with her teachers. I'm not saying you should easily forgo it. A woman does have to cover her hair. It's part of the way a Jewish married woman looks. But when she says it's difficult, you should understand that objectively, it is. It is. It is hard for many women. Okay, so we've covered today the first date, the length of the first date, the location of the first date, offering her to buy her a drink. Don't choose a place where there are dogs. Don't spend the whole date walking. And there's a way to ask this, okay? You can ask her, are you tired? Do you need us to sit down? So then she feels like, oh, I'm the invalid, right? No, I'm okay. And you keep walking. And she's spending the whole date, okay. But you could say, why don't we sit down? Maybe we should sit down. We said you should choose a place which has both indoors and outdoors, preferably. It might be too hot in the sun. It might be too cold outside. It might be rainy. You choose a place where there's no issue of yichud. If the conversation flows, you could let the date continue. I think a date should last, you know, no more than 4 hours, 5 hours. But if it flows and you're both comfortable, and you started the date at 1:30 in the afternoon, so the date runs till 7:30, 8:30, so it ran 7 hours, you know, I'm not going to tell you it's a bad thing. You might be worn out by then. I don't necessarily recommend it in the beginning. It might be better to have a shorter date, like a 2-hour date or a 3-hour date. But it's not the end of the world. If the date flowed, it was comfortable, and you both chose to keep going, it's your call. I don't think there has to be a limit. We discussed that at the end of the date, you should ask her when would be a good time to call her tomorrow. You give her an answer tomorrow. In the Dati Lumi world, it's acceptable that you call the girl the next day and tell her you had a very nice time. And next time we will discuss if you want to break up how you word it and if you want to continue how you word it. You might want to find out with the Shadchan, because in Chutz La'aretz it's accepted that you do this through the Shadchan, at least the first few dates. So if you're dating a girl from Chutz La'aretz, you might want to ask the Shadchan if it's acceptable, if she's expecting you to call her, or you're going to do it through the Shadchan. It's definitely easier to do it through the Shadchan, at least the first few dates. Eventually, when the relationship warms up, it transfers to being the couple. Okay, we're out of time for today.